everybody. Happy Friday. This is Trevin McGee from TeamSteelers.com. I'm here with Eric Moline once again via phone. It's just the two of us this week because we were the only two that saw anything, and we happened to see Total Recall. So yes. We're both going to talk about Total Recall, and then at the end, Eric's going to talk a little bit about Clown, a movie that I'll let Eric describe when we get to the end of the podcast. But first, we've got Total Recall. It is a remake of a movie that was loosely based on a short story by Philip K. Dick. The original starred Arnold Schwarzenegger, great, like early 90s Schwarzenegger vehicle with Paul Verhoeven and a lot of explosives and one-liners and everything that Schwarzenegger is known for. This new one stars Colin Farrell and Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel, and it's directed by Lynn, is it Wiseman?
Yeah, it's Kate Beckinsale's Lynn. Husband, the Underworld guy.
Yeah, Underworld guy, and he's directed some other stuff. But yeah, the first two Underworld movies were kind of his claim to fame. But yeah, we kind of, just from talking about it briefly over email, sounds like we kind of came down at opposite sides of this thing, Eric. So why don't you go ahead and, I feel like I've been talking for a while, why don't you go ahead and set the movie up and then tell me what you think about it.
Well, so I went into this movie with really measured expectations, and I purposely did not watch the original 1990 Paul Verhoeven flick ahead of time.
Are you a fan of the first one?
I saw it about 20 years ago. Was the last time
okay.
I saw it.
Okay.
So I remember liking it. I remember thinking it was fun and cheesy and campy and violent and rated R and, you know, kind of your typical Verhoeven movie,
sure.
But maybe a little less smart with, you know, more of a typical Schwarzenegger-type feel to it. So, ironically, I'm in the middle of watching it right now as you call me. But I went in to this one pretty clean. I didn't even go through a plot summary or try to figure out what the old one was about. I remembered some things that stuck in my head. And I wanted to experience the new Total Recall as somebody who would experience it, who maybe, you know, hadn't seen the other one at all. And so,
right.
First off, I guess I'll just go into the things that I liked about it a lot.
Okay.
And that is mainly the art direction and some of the chase sequences. I think that the idea of this movie is slightly different from the original in that there is no trip to Mars. So rather than having Earth and Mars, we have two opposite sides of the Earth, one called the UFB, which is not my old band Ultimate Fakebook, but rather...
Yeah, I kept cracking up during that.
Yeah, that was funny. And they're evil too, right? It's,
what
is it, the Ultimate Federation or United Federation
United.
Of Britain or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on the other side of the world, a journey through the core of the Earth will take you to what is known as the colony. And Colin Farrell's character, known as Quaid, works in the colony, and he's making robots. He's a working class guy who makes robots and has a beautiful wife and has these dreams about this other woman. And all these things are similar to Total Recall, the 1990 version, and similar enough that they reminded me of that, and I didn't I don't know, it didn't bother me at all. I was just going right along
right.
with the plot. Basically, what happens is he goes into recall and he gets this or is about to get this implant, this memory implant, to go on a vacation of sorts, and something goes horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And
turns out he's a spy.
Yeah, it turns out he's a spy. Well, or maybe he's not, but we'll find that out later in the movie. But it does bear a lot of similarities to the Bourne trilogy, which is just, you know, bad timing on its part to have come out after those movies, because he does turn into the super spy who doesn't realize what powers he has. And the movie has a more realistic feel than the original Total Recall. So it's trying to play the story a little bit more straight. And Colin Farrell is really, I mean, he's a charming guy. We've seen him be very over the top in movies like Fright Night and in Bruges and things like that.
Yeah.
But in this movie, I thought he pretty much lacked any charm whatsoever. He seemed to be kind of an everyman character, but with no distinguishing characteristics. And Jessica Biel, who's the woman from his dreams, maybe from his past, I thought she was completely generic as well. And so, you know, as the plot continued, I didn't feel that the world that they were in that looked great, you know, was built on top of each other. So space is at a premium and everything's being built upwards and upwards. I thought it made for some really great chase sequences, and I really liked the way that it was choreographed, and I liked some of the long shots that we see so that we get to actually see, you know, what's happening in the space. And that's one of the things that, especially in the Bourne trilogy or the last two Bourne movies, we never got at all. So there's a big divergence there. But I really felt like the world didn't inform the characters at all. There were really no characters. It was just this guy trying to figure out all the clues that he left for himself, which there's a number of ridiculous plot holes in the way that he continues to find out about who he used to be. And then it's a 2-hour-long movie, and I just don't think it held up. It held my interest the whole time. And then I think when it was all said and done, the ambiguity of whether or not this is real or not was not clue. They didn't use it enough, and it wasn't interesting. I don't even know how to describe it. I just didn't feel like that portion of the movie, which was kind of key to the original, even though as silly as it was utilized very well. And I'm watching Total Recall right now. I'm watching the 1990 version, and and it's totally violent, and the characters are cursing left and right for no reason. They're dropping F-bombs and everything. Yeah. It's hilarious. I mean, Total Recall, the Verhoeven version, has personality. And I feel like this new one is kind of a by-the-books, kind of a dull, bland remake. Ultimately, when it ended, I felt like there was no ambiguity and there was nothing to think back on. There was no scene to think back on and go, oh, I wonder if. And so the moment I left the theater, I forgot about it. And that, to me, is, you know, I'm not very...
Well, to be fair, there's really no ambiguity left at the end of the version you're watching right now, either. I mean, by the time the credits roll, it's pretty well established what's real and what isn't.
I don't remember it that way. And again, I'm not finished watching it, but I remember... making me think that it was all a dream. And there's a thing at the beginning of this 1990 version that I really like, where the guy, they show the picture of he gets to choose what kind of girl he's going to fall in love with.
Right.
It looks exactly like the girl that he's been dreaming about, but since he chose it, and since he chose the path of the secret agent that he wanted to be on, and that path mirrored it exactly. I think there's plenty of room to think that maybe he was in a dream the entire time, or he was in recall the entire time. So, and I didn't feel that way. I thought it was very wrapped up in the new version, and I like that less.
Yeah, I can understand that. I guess it sounds like we're actually more in line with than I thought. I mean, you'd fired off that initial thing when we'd gone back and forth about how it was just kind of... how it was just bad. I don't think it's necessarily bad. I will agree that it's got some problems. But maybe my expectations were too low. I'm not sure, but I actually enjoyed it more than I expected to. And for a lot of the same reasons you mentioned, I really liked I thought the set and production design was outstanding. For Lynn Weitzman, a guy who, you know, like we said, made his bread and butter on the Underworld movies, which are hyper stylized and hard to follow. I mean, this seemed like a really, I'm not sure what specifically it was that separates this movie from his other work, but it definitely felt more disciplined, I guess would be a good way to put it, like in terms of the camera work and the organization of scenes, the choreography that goes into those chase sequences. I was really impressed with that. And you do get a very good sense of scale during a lot of those sequences. The camera knows when to pull back and follow from a horizontal shot, and when to do like do an actual follow shot if he's jumping through weak rooftops and you know, soft walls and some of the things that he uses to make his escape during an early chase sequence. And I really like that. I do think the only actor that has anything close to charm and is anywhere near fun in this is Kate Beckinsale.
I agree, absolutely.
You can tell she had a lot of fun playing this sort of like double life bad girl type role, and that works really well. That works really well for me. Overall, you know, I really dug the way the film looked. I really liked a lot of the shots. I want to go back and look at the cinematographer because I think that he did an outstanding job. There are plenty of plot holes to drive trucks through, but considering I just cut The Dark Knight Rises, one of the biggest breaks I've cut in a movie lately, I feel like a hypocrite complaining that this has some holes in it. It tries to pull in, you know, not tries, it does pull in some pretty heavy-handed social commentary that couldn't be less interesting or less well-developed. And I would also say that it's about 30 minutes too long. There's some scenes that just don't work, that don't need to be in there. And I really wish they'd have slimmed it down to a good 90 minutes or even an hour and 45. And I think it could have worked out really well. But, you know, overall, I mean, I can't give it a Swiss fist. I can't give it like a, It did a good enough job of entertaining me, and I liked certain parts of it enough that, and especially I liked how much fun Kate Beckinsale was having being the bad guy. I almost have to go, I feel like I have to go with the minorest of minor rock fits on it. Because it doesn't. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we're basically getting it, the same review, except maybe because our expectations. No, I think my expectations were low too. This is a minor rock fifth down for me, and
yeah.
I think the reason isn't really because of plot holes. I mean, certainly that's a problem, but like you mentioned, we tend to forget that a lot if we're having a good time and if we're enjoying a ride. And I didn't enjoy the ride that much. I got kind of bored, and I'll say that it really seemed to be more of a vehicle to set up another chase sequence, and admittedly, some of those were very well done, than it was to explore the ideas. I felt like there were a lot of identity things going on that they just kind of chose to ignore, and I think that it's interesting watching this old one because it's so dumb and it's so hokey and playful and ridiculously violent, but it's
and the soundtrack's
the central
awesome
theme
and
is a little bit
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, and I just
fight,
like
yeah,
this
I'll
one's too
that,
streamlined and kind of bland. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the difference is the big difference for me with this one compared to the old one. I wasn't trying to invite comparisons, even though just by the name alone they invite comparisons. But I think the big difference is this one seems to have its eye on a different ball. It would much rather look at like the sort of class warfare rebellion stuff
that we've seen. It was so
right.
dumb. I mean, it wasn't silly and fun like Total Recall 1990. It was just, I mean, literally, it's just a resistance because they're like the poor people, and there's and then the bad guy wants to build robots and replace them all, and it's just
and
go, dumb.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no,
you
it's
know
totally
what I mean?
Dumb. But that's what it spends its time on. It doesn't spend nearly as much time on the whole who am I. What am I
agreed.
Doing? Identity thing, and that.
And that's a poor choice. We both agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So I, you know, but the thing is, it entertained me enough, and the chase scenes were very satisfying. The characters, you know, I did like again. I thought Beckinsale was the only one having any fun. Cranston, I wish I'd gotten more Cranston in sort of like gung ho crazy mode, like he is at the end of the movie, because that could have been more fun. It was really nice to have some actors that were, you could tell were enjoying themselves, you know?
Yeah, but they just didn't have good material. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. The script is not punchy at all. It is bland and have the dialogue. I mean, I'm watching this original right now, and there's people just cursing for no reason. And not only do they have mouths like sailors, but they're also like reducing these really big ideas. Like they're taking the most coarse approach to them, and it's just really weird. Verhoeven is such a freak.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm thinking about all the scenes with Benny when he's driving a taxi and he's just like, I got five kids to feed, and later when that comes up, and Schwarzenegger's line when he finally deals with Benny. There are definitely some fun hokey stuff to that, but. You know, that's actually a good segue. Looks like you gave us a minor down, and I give it like a very tepid minor up. Is that where we're at this point?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well, you know, we mentioned how much fun the old Schwarzenegger movie is, and just how, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily make sense, but it's abundantly clear that everybody's having a good time. I got to experience something kind of like that last night a couple nights ago, at the Alamo Drafthouse. They do an action-packed movie every month, and the most recent one was The Running Man. With in-house pyrotechnics, and it was just a pretty great, like, fun experience. I'd recommend. They told us last night that the one for September is going to be the original Predator. So if you like. And that's one of my favorite action movies ever. I think John McTiernan, during the 80s, was one of the best action directors on the planet.
So what do they make The Running Man special? Like, what's all goes into a screening like this?
Well, when you get your tickets, they give you a handful of party poppers. And then once you get into the theater and actually get to your seat, they didn't sell seats for the first two rows, all right? And then they run sort of a pre-show reel, like they collect clips from online, or they'll cut stuff themselves, or, you know, they do all kinds of stuff and create these little clip packs that run beforehand. And they did one for The Dark Knight Rises when I saw it there that had just funny offbeat Batman stuff, different stuff from the animated series, some 1960s Equal Pay Act. Public spot that they did with the Batman Adam West and Burt Ward Batman cast that was really funny. This they cut together just a bunch of Arnold stuff, a bunch of action sort of based on this, old laser tag commercials that borrowed from this, whatever they could come up with. So there was that great scene from Conan the Barbarian where they ask him what is best in life, and he says, crush your enemies, see them driven before you, hear the lamentation of their women. That got a huge response. But when it was movie time, they came up and said, you know, when you got four poppers, use your poppers whenever you want, but especially use them during whenever you see lightning. And then they also said, you know, like they don't allow talking in the theater, but during any of Arnold quotes, like, anyone who wants to chime in or quote along with him, you know, go for it. But any of his one-liners, you know, feel free to jump in. And then they had on the ground in-house pyrotechnics that they set off at different times. And they were basically, you know, they weren't, because it's indoors, they can't be like something that fires off like a rocket or anything. It was, they were just powers of flame that went off at key points in the movie. And I sat in the closest row, and it was like a 50 degree difference in room temperature between when they had that thing on and off. Like, you could feel the heat, and it made me jump the first two times they did it, even though I knew they were getting ready to. But I forgot how this wickedly funny that movie is, and sly it is at times. I mean, I would never call it a good movie, but it's again, you know, it's just like that same Schwarzenegger model where it's vulgar, it's violent, it's all testosterone. But there's just such a wit to it at times. I mean, it's never highbrow. I would never accuse it of that. But just Richard Dawson's in it, and some of his lines are hilarious.
Yeah.
Jesse Ventura, as always, is just a scene stealer. And so that was great to watch. Then the random cameos, like Jim Brown, Mick Fleetwood, Dweezil Zappa, Frank Zappa's son is in it. There's a lot of just weirdness to that movie that I love, and especially, you know, that it's based on a story by Richard Bachman, who was Stephen King, you know. And I've read the Running Man story, and it is nothing like the movie at all. It couldn't be, the names are the same. It couldn't be further from one couldn't be further from the other. But it was a great, you know, like, great little draft house experience. And you've gotten to see a movie that's opening there this week as well, right?
Yeah, so they have Draft House Films is an imprint run by the Alamo Draft House people, and every now and then they buy films and distribute them throughout their theaters in the U.S., and the newest one is called Clown, and Clown is spelled K-L-O-W-N. The original Danish movie from a couple years ago is called Clown, and it's K-L-O-V-N, and this is based off of a series that ran on Danish TV 6 seasons, and they made a movie after the 6th season, and that's what this is. It stars and is written by Casper Christensen and Frank Havam, who I'm sure I'm mispronouncing.
Okay.
And it's a very awkward humor type movie. So if you like The Office, the original UK Office, if you like Curb Your Enthusiasm and things like that, you're definitely going to dig this. It's pretty short, and basically it's more depraved and perverted than even those shows are. Unfortunately, it's being remade in the U.S. now by Todd Phillips, who did The Hangover.
Oh, great.
And,
my favorite.
He's really the master of zero subtlety, so it'll be interesting to see how he makes this work for American audiences. I thought the humor played very well. It's basically about a guy who has this friend who is a total horn dog, and they go on this big canoe trip where they're going to go upstream and visit a upscale whorehouse that one of their friends owns. And Frank, the main character, they both play versions of themselves, like Curb Your Enthusiasm. Frank decides to kidnap a 12-year-old kid that has been put in his care because he wants to prove to his girlfriend, who's recently pregnant, that he can be a good father.
That old plot.
Yeah, well, and he wants to prove that by taking the kid on a canoe trip to a whorehouse. So there's a lot of problems in which you see the setup is a little rickety because you're like, nobody can be this daft.
Right.
But the thing is you know, these guys get in way over their heads, and the situations that they get put in, sometimes you see the joke coming, and even when it happens, it's still really, really funny. And what I found really interesting is this movie's subtitled. So let's just say this, the dry wit in another language, the delivery is not as easy to laugh at as it is in English. So sometimes we're very keyed into the way that somebody is presenting a line to us, the way that an actor is presenting a line. And their inflections mean a lot more because we know what the words mean. And this is interesting because sometimes it feels like everything is dead serious because we don't understand the language and we don't know what each individual word means as it's coming out of their mouth. So there's a lot of reading, but once you get tuned into this brand of comedy, it's almost as if you're reading the subtitles in the manner in which they're being delivered, even though you don't know which word means what. And it really does sink in and become more funny as it goes along. I really enjoyed it. I think, like I said, it's got problems in the department of, like, you know, setting jokes up and some things just being way too unbelievable to happen. But if you're not offended easily and you like shock humor, I think you owe it to yourself to go see this because it's a different kind. And somehow through all of this debauchery, there still ends up being kind of a human bond, like the human connection that you have with these characters, which is ridiculous considering all the horrible things that they do. So,
right.
And what I like the best about what Draft House is doing by buying this film and putting it in theaters is in America, is that I think they're trying to show people that not every foreign film is an art movie, and they can be foreign films can be as crude, as dumb, as smart, as funny as American films, and they don't all have to be, you know, Oscar contenders for best foreign language film. So I definitely think people who like ribald humor should go see this movie, especially since Todd Phillips is remaking it with Danny McBride, and it remains to be seen what they'll do with it. So see this first, and, you know, then you won't have to see it second.
Yeah, see it first, and then you want to, yeah, right. Yeah.
A minor rock pissed up for me.
Good. Awesome. Well, yeah, I guess we should just end it on that. If you get a chance, there's always something going on at the Draft House where we're checking out their screening. I'm going to this on Sunday. I can't wait. They're doing the 1962 Manchurian Candidate on Sunday.
Nice.
John Frankenheimer. Political intrigue set to the background of a POW who comes home and isn't quite right in the head. But yeah, with that, I guess we've got next week. I'll be doing the Bourne Legacy, watching Jeremy Renner try and step into the shoes of Matt Damon, and a franchise that has lost its director and whose writer has now stepped into that director's spotlight. So that ought to be interesting if that's a success. Are you seeing anything next week?
Yeah, I'll be seeing The Campaign, and I do want to mention that. The Draft House Cinema has asked me to be the host, the first non-Draft House host of one of their events. And we are going to be, Scene Stealers is going to be presenting the Arena Rock Sing-Along on August 30th at the Draft House.
That's very good. Yeah, I was going to ask if you'd gotten into that yet. So awesome. News to me too, but that's going to be a lot of fun. Mean Moline rides again. So, yeah, with that, I guess we'll go. But everybody, have a good weekend. Check out a movie if you can, and we'll be back next week with more stuff.